We're ready for argument now in the case of Pulungan against the United States. Mr. Mayor.
May it please the Court. The District Court abused its discretion in granting a certificate of innocence to the plaintiff, Mr. Pulungan, by relying upon an erroneous concession in the criminal appellate case that had been corrected in the subsequent civil action, as well as by applying rule of law unsupported by prior case law. A certificate of innocence is a separate civil proceeding in which the plaintiff has the burden of demonstrating not only that his conviction was reversed, but that he is actually innocent of any offense whatsoever, and that he did not, by his misconduct or neglect, bring about his conviction. An error by the government in the criminal appeal may result in an acquittal, as here, but it does not make the defendant actually innocent for the purposes of 2513A2. Mr. Pulungan intended to violate the Arms Export Control Act, even if he was unaware of the specific licensing requirements in effect at the time, and he cannot demonstrate that he did not willfully violate the statute under the proper standard set forth by the Seventh Circuit in Beck. To be certain, the government has conceded in the criminal appeal that Mr. Pulungan needed to have specific knowledge of the law's coverage. But the court also expressly declined to determine whether this was the correct standard for willfulness.
Yes, but it is the law of the case, counsel. You're not going to make any headway by saying, well, now we can take back our concession and relitigate something that's already been litigated.
Well, actually, under A2, you can. A2 envisions that they will demonstrate their actual innocence.
The bench about counsel.
I mean, Your Honor, a couple of notes about law of the case. First, it is a flexible doctrine. And more importantly, under A2 specifically envisions that the petitioner has the burden of demonstrating their actual innocence. So, whether in the criminal action...
That's a different point. Maybe you want to stress that.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, under A1, the government agrees that the conviction needs to be have been... Mr. Pulungan met his burden under A1 to determine that he was indeed... that the conviction had been reversed or set aside. However, in this specific case, he failed to demonstrate that he was actually innocent or that he did not, through his misconduct or neglect, bring about his own prosecution. Mr. Pulungan had specifically stated that he intended to export goods to his country in violation of a particular embargo. He sought to export military-sensitive items. That embargo is charged under the... And the violation of that embargo is the exact same charge as a violation...
part of the problem in your presentation has just come up. He intended to export militarily-sensitive items. One of the points of our holding some years back was that the proof never established that these were defense articles. And your brief has essentially ignored that. Now, what significance do you think it has?
Well, Your Honor, first, the court's holding in that aspect was dicta. But even setting that aside...
Alternative holdings in that opinion.
Well, even if we assume...
It seems to me you need to make your argument on the assumption that we are not going to retreat from what we have already held about this prosecution.
Your Honor, even assuming that those statements are not actually dicta, ultimately, in a certificate of innocence action, he has the burden of establishing. This court specifically only held that the government failed to meet its burden in the criminal prosecution. That does not mean and does not require that the district court hold that Mr. Pulungan has met his burden to demonstrate and prove in the subsequent civil action. There are different standards in different cases, and the same considerations may be relevant to both cases, but it is very different when the government needs to meet the very difficult burden of proving a criminal case, as opposed to when Mr. Palungan has the burden of demonstrating and proving his civil case for damages, in which he's attempting to prove that he is actually innocent and did not bring about his own prosecution by misconduct or neglect.
Mr. Mayor, what specifically would you ask Mr. Palungan to establish? What is it that he failed? I understand your general conclusion, but what specifically would he have needed to establish with regard to his actual innocence?
Well, he would have needed to establish that. I mean, the first one, again, the point we concede, he did demonstrate that his conviction was reversed. The second point is whether he is actually innocent of any offense whatsoever. That means he didn't commit the acts charged. He didn't. For example, if Mr. Palungan was able to demonstrate that he wasn't attempting to export rifle scopes, he was attempting to export chocolate, he could demonstrate that he was actually innocent of any offense whatsoever. That would be obviously meeting his burden. He would need to demonstrate, there is an element of willfulness that he needs to demonstrate, but the same concerns regarding willfulness viewed in the context of the government attempting to prove it with regards to a criminal appeal is different from him attempting to prove that he actually is innocent and that he actually truly could not demonstrate that his conduct was willful. I mean, there are two different standards, and you can have different rulings using different standards. That's not inconsistent because Congress had intended to have a significantly more limited group of individuals qualify for a certificate of innocence than those who had their convictions reversed. I mean, in this case, even if we take the holdings, the alternate holdings of the court as alternate holdings in this particular case, Mr. Palungan still fails to ultimately meet his burden. He failed to demonstrate that he did not have or did not intend to export these. In fact, this court's own holdings expressly concluded that the government had convincingly shown that Mr. Palungan believed what he was doing was illegal. And that's an extremely pertinent fact in the civil case.
So as long as he holds that belief, he can never qualify for a certificate of innocence. Is that the government's position?
Yes, Your Honor. If he's attempting to willfully violate the law, if not a question of actual innocence, it would be a question of misconduct or neglect. I see I'm into my rebuttal time, so unless the court has any more questions. Thank you.
Mr. Eberts.
Thank you, and may it please the court. Judge Crabb, the trial court below, is the judge who tried this case and is fully familiar with the evidence. She applied the right requirements in this case. She considered...
The problem with what happened in this case is the district judge said, actually quite explicitly, that Palungan's conviction has been reversed, therefore he's innocent. Now, it doesn't seem to me that one follows from the other. He can be quite guilty as a factual matter, but the government failed to establish it. Think about the first half of our holding, that there was no proof that these were defense articles. The problem was that although the administrative agency charged with administering this export control statute thinks they're defense articles, that just wasn't proved. Now, it's entirely possible that they are defense articles. Right? If we have a failure of proof differs from actual innocence. And that seems to be a potential problem here. So how do you get over it?
Sure. The court, in discussing Betts, acknowledged that a reversal doesn't always mean actual innocence. In other words, legal innocence does not automatically translate into actual innocence. And the government's not correct in asserting
that. Actually, legal innocence is actual innocence. The point here was that the proof had not been made, and therefore the defendant was entitled to a judgment of not guilty. But not guilty doesn't equal either actual, factual, or legal innocence. It just means that proof has not been established showing guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. That's all it means.
That's correct. And then it's up to the trial judge, in deciding this separate proceeding on a certificate of innocence, to decide whether the requirements of the statute are met.
Well, did the district judge hold a hearing in this proceeding to determine whether the rifle scopes were defense articles within the scope of the statute?
No, she did not.
Did she hold a hearing to determine what, as a matter of fact, the defendant knew or intended?
No, there was no hearing in this case,
well,
Your Honor.
Then I don't understand how there can be a factual finding that these were, say, not defense articles.
Well, her decision didn't actually find these are not defense articles.
Exactly. What her decision said is the conviction was reversed, therefore he's innocent.
The decision said that the conviction was reversed. This court found that there was no evidence, proof in the record whatsoever that he had met the willfulness requirement. The government didn't meet the burden.
Well,
again,
the evidence wasn't sufficient. There was evidence in the record. But that just gets back to my point. To say that proof beyond a reasonable doubt has not been established is not to say that the person is innocent.
That is certainly correct. This court, applying a standard whereby it viewed the evidence in the light most favorable to the government, found that Mr. Palungan was not guilty of the offense and reversed the conviction. And
you missed it again.
Your Honor.
I understand what you're saying, but they don't add up to the same thing. There's a piece that the government failed to prove, which doesn't establish innocence. It simply established they left something out that was vital to the conviction. It wasn't there. The conviction couldn't stand. But it certainly doesn't mean that they can, without any further ado, declare him innocent.
Well,
there has to be something more. Innocence and not guilty are two different things.
Certainly.
Right?
Yes, certainly
okay,
they are.
So we're on the same page so far.
Certainly. But that was the criminal proceeding. Now this is coming to the district court to evaluate the factors.
But you didn't present anything.
That's true. But the trial court had before it a two-day trial record, and it also
had a trial record, and we've already said that the evidence didn't show guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. But that's not the standard. Right? I guess Judge Bauer and I are going over the same thing. It would have been perfectly within your ability to try to put on evidence to show that these rifle scopes are not mil-spec rifle scopes covered by the need to get an export license. And if you'd established that in this civil proceeding, your client's entitled to a certificate of innocence. But there was no such hearing, and I gather you've never even tried to establish that.
No, that is correct. There wasn't a hearing, and we didn't attempt to establish that. What we did argue, and the district court found, was that based on this court's decision and the other evidence in the case, all the other evidence in the record, that there was no proof of the essential element of intent in the crime.
To proof beyond a reason, failure of proof beyond a reasonable doubt is different from innocence. Did Palungan testify at the criminal trial?
He did not.
Well, I could imagine a case where the defendant had testified and said, I had no idea of this rule, right? I'm innocent. And the judge then saying, I believe that testimony, I find him to be innocent. But if he didn't testify, there's nothing she could believe.
Well, what she had...
It's just a failure of proof and nothing else.
What she had before her was Mr. Palungan's story as told to the FBI agent in 3 or 4 hours of interview. And then all of the proof that the government marshaled and presented at the trial. And I would submit that there's a point at which I agree that reversal of the case does not automatically mean actual innocence. But the district court, who's charged with the job and the discretion of looking at the statute and applying the facts that are before her, in this case decided that there was, based on this court's decision, that there was zero evidence of intent in this case, the willfulness aspect.
You said zero evidence?
This court's
insufficient.
Zero evidence is certainly not what our opinion said. Our opinion said the evidence was insufficient.
I think this court's decision found that the mistaken belief as a matter of law does not translate into proof of willfulness. It's a mistake of fact, a belief in a non-existent rule, and that the other proof of willfulness was essentially non-existent. And there were other elements of the government's proof that were discussed and dismissed in this court's decision.
Mr. Harris, let me come at this a different way. If we issued the original opinion, is it your position that when we reviewed the record, we should have been able to conclude a certificate of innocence should have obtained? Well, because I'm trying to contrast it to with what did Judge Crabb add to the examination we made?
Well, it's.
I mean, what is she looking at through what? What lens that we didn't look through?
Well, she looked at actual innocence of the counts of conviction. The government tried to present evidence or argued that there were other crimes committed that weren't charged or that the count two, which was an acquittal, that he was guilty of that, actually not innocent of that charge. And so she sifted through, plus applied her knowledge of the two-day trial and the rest of the record to the determination. And in addition, made a finding on the third factor, which is that he didn't, by negligence or misconduct, cause the government to mislead the government into believing that somehow he had committed a criminal offense. And with regard to that, the court applied this court's decision in the Betts case, which interpreted that prong of the statute. And we don't think the government has shown that there's anything erroneous about her application of that third factor or that there's any abuse of discretion. The government argues that Beck is somehow controlling. I would submit, first of all, this court had Beck in mind when it decided this case and obviously was aware of it. The government moved a petition for a rehearing or filed a motion for rehearing arguing that exact point that this court denied. And there are major distinctions between the Beck case, which was an arms embargo case, and this case. Here you had a non-public rule, which, as this court acknowledged, made it very difficult for the government to even begin to assert knowledge. You had, in this case, in the Beck case, you had a public embargo announced by President Carter. And you also had proof that Beck, the defendant, knew of that rule. He had a letter or an email where he actually talked about President Carter's announcement and also after that changed his M.O. of the offense. He stopped using the letters of credit and shifted to an international wire transfer. And you have this mistake of fact, a belief in a non-existent rule, and also ample evidence in Beck, false letters of credit, false descriptions on export documents, history of actual diversion, and other things. And I see that my time's out. I'd be happy to respond to any other question. Otherwise, we will rest. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Mager?
Your Honor, a couple of points.
Just to respond to a few contentions that were raised in the appellee's presentation. The district court had ruled that ultimately when a case is reversed on a finding that the petitioner does not have the requisite state of mind to commit the charged offense, the petitioner is both legally and actually innocent. That case is not actually supported by any case law. They cite to two cases which aren't on point, and also in that paragraph they cite to the Betts decision. But the Betts decision is distinct in the sense that in Betts, defendant was unable to establish the basic background facts of his offense, almost the actus reus. That case did not turn on a question of mens rea, just like the Palungan case, and a question of willfulness. So you cannot read that case as setting forth a general rule that when something is reversed based upon state of mind, that the petitioner is always going to be legally and actually innocent. The district court needs to look at the facts of the case and make its determination. Also, to the extent the court was questioning about what evidence existed before the court regarding whether the article was a defense article, the appellee is correct that no additional evidence was taken, no hearing was sought, it was only based upon the record. The only evidence before the trial court was the evidence that the government had previously put on, though not viewed by a jury, that this particular article was a defense article and had been classified as since 2003. Unless there are any further questions, we respectfully request that the court reverse the finding of the trial court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.